doing any segment now?
I've started, yep.
Right, so I think this might be a reasonably quick meeting. Thank you everyone for your attendance at this meeting. I'll declare this ordinary meeting of Central Tablelands County Council open. I'd like to acknowledge the Wiradjuri people, who are the traditional custodians of the land on which we're all meeting today. I'd like to pay my respects to their people, both past and present, and extend that respect to other Aboriginal Australians who are present at this meeting. This meeting will be audio recorded and uploaded to Council's website within 2 weeks after the meeting. Audio recordings are a free public service and not an official record of Council meetings. Turning now to the agenda. Apologies and applications for leave of absence. Although there's no apologies, I see we're all present. Any applications for leave of absence, Mr. Chairman?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Confirmation of minutes of the previous meetings. They have been circulating. Would someone like to move? They've been received as correct record. Thank you. Councillor Best and Councillor Walker. Thank you very much. Any comments in relation to those minutes? Clarify, we're talking now about the minutes of the February meeting, is that right?
The May meeting, yes.
I was only 1 second, yeah. There's no comments. All those in favour? Carried. Any matters arising from those minutes anyone wants to raise, it's not otherwise dealt with on the agenda. If not, we will move on. Disclosure of interest. Any disclosures of interest, Mr. GM?
No, I haven't received any, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Public forum, I assume, but no public forum.
That's correct.
Public forum. Councillor, the chairman's minute, but I do have a chairman's minute, and I sent this around to councillors last night because these audio visual meetings, it's difficult to table documents, so I tabled it by sending it out to councillors, but for the purpose of the record, I'll just read the minute if it's under review. I'm pleased to report that the state government is moving to establish a town water drought response steering committee for the Lachlan Valley. The first meeting will be held later this week. The initiative has been coordinated by James McTavish, the New South Wales Regional Town Water Supply Coordinator. It will be a forum for all state agencies, in particular DPI Water, the Department of Regional New South Wales, Water New South Wales, the Natural Resource Access Regulator, and New South Wales Health, to work in collaboration with local government water utilities to make sure all current and future drought emergency projects are well coordinated and best use all available water to support social, economic, cultural and environmental outcomes. We'll also support the longer term development of town water security solutions consistent with the Lachlan Regional Water Strategy. CTW is an invited participant along with the General Purpose Councils responsible for town water supplies in the Lachlan Valley, the Low Way and the Dam, and those in the upper Quarry Valley. I'll be representing CDW along with the General Manager. This development is very welcome from both CDW's point of view and that of all other councils involved. Our joint organisation has been lobbying for such a group in form for some time. In fact, it's one of the key objectives outlined in the joint organisation's statement of region strategic priorities. Now, that's a good development. And it's good that CDW in its own right is represented on that group. Someone like to move that minute be accepted?
Move that.
Yeah. Councillor Bedrick, Councillor Newstead. Any questions or comments in relation to that?
What do you think was the catalyst for it to, it's been such a long time coming? Why now, do you think that?
Well, I think email that James McTavish sent out calling this meeting and sending out draft terms of reference, he referred to some concerns he's got with, there's a lot of emergency drought projects going on at the moment in individual water utilities own little area, and there's not much coordination happening between them. Now, if I can give one example that's pretty close to home, it's the Orange CDW Cowra project, which was really in the first place an Orange project without much consultation at a council level with CDW or Cowra. It's turned out to be essentially a CDW and Cowra project, which is project managed by Orange, who are going to receive the funding. On Orange only indirectly will benefit by CDW's water being supplemented potentially from Cowra to free up water otherwise available in the CDW system, potentially for Orange. So I think that's just one example where I think there's been other examples around the region where, and I don't blame water utilities for this, where everyone's sort of worried about their own particular systems and the security of their own supplies, and they're busy looking after whatever they can do, whatever money they can do to supplement their own systems, and there hasn't been much sort of regional coordination. The other thing which I know the joint organisation's been lobbying for is a group like this to be established, a sort of interagency group with all the state agencies and all the local government water utilities to oversee ultimate implementation of the Lachlan Regional Water Strategy. That will, at the moment, the timetable is for that to be adopted later this year, this calendar year. And what joint organisation is keen, when it is adopted, for there to be some group like this involving all relevant agencies on the ground to continue to monitor the implementation of the strategies which have been agreed, rather than simply leaving it to sit on a shelf somewhere. So there's an immediate purpose of this committee, which is to get everyone talking to each other in relation to these emergency projects. And there's a longer term, potentially longer term, benefit, if it can hang in there, of morphing into some sort of group which will continue to exist to oversee implementation of the regional water strategies.
David?
Yes, Kevin.
Has there any other groups been formed other than this Rock Valley one? Who's on this? Emmy's on this group?
I can't answer that, Kevin, as to whether there are other groups. I know, and Gavin can comment on this too, I know there's lots of smaller groups which James McTavish has called together to deal with sort of local issues, and there's one, Orange Bay, Orange CW and Cabot, have got a little group going, which Gavin and Noel go to. And I imagine there's lots of other groups like that scattered around the state. Particularly in the areas, I know New England's been in a fair bit of strife with their water security. There's probably other groups around the state similar to that, but I don't know whether there's been an overall coordination body like this yet.
Yeah, just through you, Mr. Chairman, just to add to that, and with the Orange, Cabana and CTW, it's called a steering committee as well. It also includes those agencies that have been invited to form the Lachlan Valley group. So we have got the likes of NRA, DPIE Water, Department of Health, and as I said, the three councils, either at GM or at GM level and director level. And I spoke to James McTavish the other day just to see if there's any similarities between the two. And there are quite a few, but as David's just touched on, the Lachlan Valley will be more strategic as well, whereas the current one we've got with Orange, Cabana and CTW is strategic but also operational and technical to get through this current drought period. And also touch on the delivery of our projects which have been announced, which will be the same for the Lachlan Valley UCO as well. But it's just good to get that representation and to get that support on a regional basis.
I don't know if you're all watching on our little videos of all councillors being present, but I noticed that when Councillor Durkin just disappeared, it reminded me a bit of those AFL scenes where all the players run through the banner. He just ran through the banner back. Let's do it again, back into the meeting in a minute.
Dave, is this group going to be run like a JO sort of thing, or?
No, not really. I think Craig, it is important in the sense that it's in part a sort of strategic group with councillor representation, and so far as the JO is concerned, at a sort of regional central west level, the Water Utilities Alliance has been operating for a long while. It's a sort of a technical group. It's not a strategic group. And this this committee, subcommittee, steering committee it's called, is in part filling a gap that the Water Utilities Alliance hasn't filled, because it hasn't concentrated on strategic, it hasn't concentrated on training and technical issues. And the members of the Water Utilities Alliance are the water managers and the directors and so on of councils responsible for water, their water businesses, rather than looking at an overall strategic view on all the water utilities. So it's not really a sort of water JO, but it does give an opportunity for a forum to lift our regional cooperation to a different level.
Yeah, and will have federal government as well, won't it?
Not federal government.
Not federal at all.
No, not at all. It's all state government. There's no more comments. I'll take it that we agree to accept the chairman's minute. Council representation is the next item on the agenda. For my part, I've just noted down three things. I won't mention the budget workshop, which we all attended. There was an audit committee meeting on the 3rd of June. There was a joint organisation board meeting on the 4th of June. And I dialed into an Office of Local Government webinar with the Premier and the Minister for Local Government on the 16th of June. Asked a few great questions online, but it wasn't. We didn't get to the answer to the question, which was incidentally, and there's no answer to this yet, as far as I can work out, whether the government who has put in special provisions during COVID to enable us to have meetings like this by audiovisual means, whether that will be continued permanently. Now, it may not be so important for a general purpose council where all the councillors are generally not too far away from each other, but in a county council like this, we're all a long way off, and you know, we do need to have extraordinary meetings from time to time. To be able to do this in the way we're holding this meeting, I think it's a real advantage. So I'm keen to know whether the government will continue the dispensation, which only came in because of COVID, whether they'll continue it permanently. Anyway, I asked that question at the webinar, but unfortunately there's a lot of other questions and that one wasn't answered. Any other council representation? Okay. We'll move on. Notice of motion. Gavin, anything?
No, there's no notice of motion, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We'll move on to reports of staff. Item 1, page 3, which is the COVID-19 update. The report is there. Someone like to to move the recommendation. Yes, Kevin and John. Thank you. Councillor Walker, Councillor Newstead. Recommendation is that Council note the actions taken in response to the pandemic. We've read the General Manager's report. Is there any questions the General Manager raised for that?
Just briefly, through you, Mr. Chairman, I've got it in my report there, but we've organised to have the protective glass installed at the front counter as well, greater protection for our staff when dealing with the consumers. And we have reopened the office to the public back on the 25th of May, once restrictions have started to be relaxed. So, it's in progress, which we're thinking is at the end of this week or next week that we'll have that glass protective glass installed. So, this is another measure.
Thank you. Is there more questions? I'll put that those in favour. Harry, thank you. Item 2, the lease agreement for NBN Show. Someone like to move that? Councillor Best, seconded Councillor Rembrick, of course, thank you. I think just I'll make one comment here. I think you've seen the note I sent out before the meeting in relation to this. I was always under the impression that we had a 5-year lease, and when that was coming up for expiry, they wanted to renew the 5-year lease, which actually never actually been signed. And that's what I'd like to work out. But and we wanted to change the lease to include provisions protecting our industry, because the view amongst the water director was it wasn't really a good thing to have third party infrastructure on water towers. So the lease has been amended to include those provisions, as probably you all seen. But the thing that I think we need to note is that there are in fact 4 leases with consecutive terms, a total of 20 years from when it was originally commenced. It obviously takes a little bit 20 years to run. All the previous resolutions of council coming back and checked on was simply for a 5-year lease. So this is the main difference here, of course, is that we're now talking about consecutive leases going out to 2033. So that is a bit different from, I think, what the formal position of the previous councils in relation to this matter. So I just want to make that clear so we're all aware of that. Okay, is there anything you want to add to your report?
No, just as said in my report there, it has been a quite protracted process. Initially, and just a bit of background with that, it was originally, as I understand it, but I can't find a signed document, signed in 2013 by the previous general manager. And then in 2017, I recall, the NBN Co wanted to make some minor adjustments or amendments. And that's when, as the chairman just touched on, the water director third-party conditions came into play or were recommended. So it's been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. There's been changes of solicitors on the NBN Co side, which has held up the process. But now we're at a point where they have been finalised and the conditions have been included, as the chairman said, and we're right to proceed. The committing CTW for the 20 years there. One, as I said in my report, one of the terms has already expired, and we're partway through, or 2 years into the current period. So there'll be a total of 13 years that we're committing council for this. There were issues with having or interfering with CTW's operations with regards to maintaining and operating the reservoir, but I understand now that those concerns have been allayed and remedied. So I don't know if Noel wanted to touch on that to see if there is any issues or he can see any ongoing issues. We do have the ability, if in the lease agreements, if the NBN Co materially breach the lease agreement, we have got the right to to terminate the agreement if they do not fix that or don't remedy that breach within a certain period of time. I think the longest period is within 60 days. We are in our rights to terminate that lease if that does occur. But as David mentioned in his email earlier, before the meeting, that they, on the NBN Co side, they have the right to terminate the lease, but there's no, under any other reasons, I suppose, or if they feel that they don't need to continue on with the agreement. So with the income side of things for CTW, it is another income stream, which is approximately $10,000 a year, which is subject to CPI. So over a 13-year period, I've estimated there we could receive approximately $135,000 if we sign for the full term. But that's, as I said, if councils feel more comfortable with just signing off on the existing agreement, 5-year term, and when that expires, we can look at, or leading up to that expiring, we can do a review. But as I said, that if council aren't comfortable with signing up for that additional 13, or the next 13 years, so, or committee organisation for the next 13 years. So at this stage, I can't see any reason why we can't. We sign up, at the moment, we've got our long-term loan, I suppose, which is 20 years, which previous councils have committed this council. And we've also got an existing lease with the NBN Co for a deed of access at our land in Yagara, which I've just got in my report there, which is a 22-year lease. So we have in the past signed up for long-term leases, but as I said, it's totally up to council. If they don't feel comfortable in doing that, that's fine too.
But I would just comment before I throw it open that the Yugara, I think, is just a access to some land, not putting infrastructure on a reservoir. So I think that's a bit different. My only concern about long-term commitment is that, if we have a problem with the reservoir, remember the problem we had with the Canoundra reservoir roof not so long ago, if there's an issue with the Carcor reservoir and we need to do a bit of work on it or fix up the roof or strengthen, you know, potential leaks or whatever it might be, and we find that the NBN infrastructure is just making it almost impossible to get a harness or do something that we need to do to fix up our water supply, then it's fine at the moment, but when you've sort of committed to such a long time without a sort of review of how it's operating in the meantime, there's not much we can do about it. Anyway, that was my only concern about the long-term commitment. But if the staff are not concerned about that, well then, and I rely on the staff. It's up to you to make the call on that. So other councils, what are your views? Penny? Paul, you're on mute.
Sorry, I was just going to say that I think there's a lot of work that's been going on for a long time. It's good to get it finalised. It's terrific to get it finalised. I suppose if they do novate the contract and all that sort of stuff, who's responsible for removing their infrastructure? Is that us or is that them?
Oh, that's them. They're responsible for removing the infrastructure if the lease is terminated. The same if they're doing any work or the equipment becomes redundant, it's up to them to remove that in a timely fashion.
That's the only thing I was thinking. In length of time, you know, technology moves pretty fast. You wouldn't think that if you're using the same system in sort of 20 years' time or 13, 15 years' time, sort of thing. So,
that's right. Through you, Mr. Chairman, I don't know if Noel, if you want to add anything regarding operationally.
Yeah, no, we covered it off on our new swims. So, you know, radiation is the biggest concern anyone going up that is spending excess time up there on the roof. Then we just turn it off. It's as simple as that. And that's all part of it. We can get access around the outside with elevated work platforms for doing any maintenance. And And if it, we will continue to assess it, and if there is any leaks or anything like that that we consider is going to be a problem, they've got the alternative option of putting in a post alongside the area that they are and supporting it from the ground and not coming off our reservoir. So, but yeah, we've got good access all the way around it. We can see it. It's got good visual. The boys continue to do their normal maintenance when they go around and do their weekly and monthly checks. So, yeah, it's we just see it as business as usual.
Okay, thanks, Noel. Craig, yeah.
Just a question along that if the roof or one of our staff were doing maintenance up there and it blew off and damaged their infrastructure, are we liable for any stoppage in the NBN to the public sort of thing, or businesses that it's interrupting? Or have we got any sort of liability on that?
I don't know. Sorry, I'd have to take that on.
We'd be liable if we damaged their infrastructure, but I'm not too sure. I'd have to check on the
insurance, our
liability should cover any, if there's any other claims regarding it, a stoppage in the NBN operating for those users in that area. But we can check that. We're to notify our insurer as well that there is the infrastructure attached to our asset. So we'll get some feedback from them as well, so some advice.
I imagine that if the roof blew off like it happened at Canundra and took with it all their telecommunications infrastructure, then they'd be claiming against us and we'd be claiming against our insurance policy. As long as we've notified the insurers that there's third-party assets on the tower, then that should be covered.
Yeah.
Anyway, it might be worthwhile if you can take that question from Councillor Bembrick on notice as to our liability for damage to NBN's infrastructure.
And the interruption of business of people around that area, because they're all going to get upset.
Yeah.
Right, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Craig, would you like just to leave that as a question on notice to be answered either offline after this meeting or ideally offline after this meeting?
Yeah, that's
cool. Won't be drawn.
The temporary pump station, where we approved 170,000 if we didn't get a grant. I think the view now is we don't need that, at least at the moment. So, any questions in relation to this, or Gavin, do you want to add anything or not?
I just want to touch on, as you said, David, that temporary pump station. When we put that submission in for funding, obviously times were different back then. We hadn't received any rain and it was looking quite dire. So we're looking at all measures to get water supplied to us as soon as possible, hence the application. Due to the time in getting that application and luckily receiving some rain to provide a bit of relief, it has enabled us to get on with the building of the permanent pump station. However, and Noel can touch on this further, however, a lot of the preliminary works that were done on the temporary pump station are also able to be used for the permanent pump station. But Noel, did you want to add anything further?
Yeah, through the chair, the biggest issue that we can see concerning a permanent pump station, the temporary pump station, is the availability of the permanent pumps. So, there's certain, because we most of the pumps and that come in from overseas and COVID-19, and has put a hold up on a lot of equipment coming into Australia. There is a concern that the permanent pumps may not be available within between 16 and 20 weeks. So this is why we want to keep that temporary pump station open, where we can get access to that very quickly to do. However, all of the infrastructure that we're putting into the ground for the permanent pump station can be used then to be utilised for the permanent for the temporary pump station. So they do parallel along with each other. And even when we've gone down and done the noise assessment for those temporary pumps, the noise assessment for a genset to drive the permanent pump station comes in about 4 dB lower than what the temporary pumps would do. So that was a good win as well. So those approvals have been put forward to Cowra Shire Council now, and we're just waiting on those to come back. So it's been a good exercise, and it's welcomed those bits of rain, but we were all a bit concerned when we got down to that 32 mark, so we were very concerned then.
Thanks, Tom. So just to clarify, all the funding, including that relating to the temporary aspects, is all going to be covered by the funding for the permanent pump station?
At the moment it has, yes. Yes, yes. We've transferred the funding that we have expended on the temporary pump station across onto our permanent pump station because of the parallels between the two.
Thanks. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, with the bore refurbishment, is there any effect on the funding now that we weren't able to get any water sampling out of those bores? Is there any effect on that now? Because we really can't call them bore, can we?
Yes. So I have written to David Swan and put him on notice of the cost of refurbishing those existing Bangaroo bores and the known water quality issues, and asked that he keeps an open mind of using that money to sink another bore at Goolagong and put the money reinvigorating the bores from Bangaroo and sink the money into Goolagong, where we do know that there is good water there. So the report has come through now from the Bangaroo bores, pretty well stating that the casings are problems as well. The pumps are not operational. The switchboards need upgrading. So, but we've put David Swan on notice just to tune his line of thinking in with ours for an additional bore of Goolagong.
Thanks, Paul.
So you'd be sort of thinking of the costing of repairing those bores in any way, would be better, that money would be better spent just removing another new bore at Wilbur.
We will have to reline both bores if we want to bring them back into service. So we're up for switchboards, we're up for relining, so and we're up for all of the infrastructure associated with it. So if we're going to do that, why not put it into Goolagong, get another license to sink another bore at Goolagong, and put that infrastructure in at Goolagong where we know the water quality is good enough for drinking water supply.
So should we sell the license that we've got to make a bore on that, or the benefit in turning it in?
Again, I'm putting that forward to David Swan to assist with us, and if we can have, depends on the bearing of whether David can accept us having a grant to rejuvenate the Bangaroo style at Goolagong, then of course we would be open to whether we need that license or that additional license comes then across to Goolagong with us as well.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chair, for Councillor Best, yeah, we'll explore our options there. In the past, we've requested, or we've investigated if we could transfer that license over, but I understand that because it's a different zone, that's not allowed. However, under these circumstances, we may be, we'll keep pushing that barrow, or if there's other options there available to us. And one may be, as you said, to an opportunity, if we can't transfer it, if we can sell that license.
I mean, you know, if we put a second board in at Goolagong, do we have the capacity to carry that water in that same spot? Is it, you know, is that too much of the system at that particular one point?
Well, we, through the chair, we would never, I could never foresee the use of both the bores running at the same time now. We've been running on number two bore, which is the smaller bore. The flow rate that we can pull out of number one bore is around 4 megs a day, which is, you know, for supplying the area that we do, is well and truly covered. So I don't foresee that we would need to run the additional bore concurrently, but it's there for a failure of that number one bore. Oh, sorry, and through the chair, the other point on Bangaroo, which I haven't explained, Bangaroo bore, the position of that enabled us to pump water all the way back to Canoundra, whereas the existing bore at Goolagong, the surface pumps don't have the pressure to push back to Canoundra. So this is also what I've raised with David Swan in upgrading not just as the bore field being upgraded, which includes upgrading the surface pumps to put the additional surface pumps in to pressurise our system and get the water back up to Canoundra. So it's the Bangaroo site being replicated at Goolagong is where we're asking.
Now, just one thing for me in relation to the other emergency project, which is accessing the good water at Lake Rowlands. This is to get a pontoon and a pump and so on to access the dead water that way. The original idea of the scale valve being used to access dead water, what's become of that?
This funding is to access both areas, so it's for being able to draw off water using a pontoon, as well as the infrastructure to drag water out of the scour valve. So both those options are in this funding grant.
Okay, that's good. And outsourced to some expert coming in to tell us what we need to do and put it all in place?
I've been in contact with two different groups, as well as with Water New South Wales, of course, because they've had to undertake that similar exercise on some of their dams. Ours is only a very small pump, of course, and the distance that we're going to pump will be up into our outlet tower, so it's around 20 metres of pumping for there. So the pontoon, the pump, we've got covered, and we're inquiring through two other areas as well as through Water New South Wales. So the values that we put on those when we applied for the funding were designed to fit the usability for us to get access to that the floating pontoon and the pump, as well as the electricity, of course.
Who does that sort of work? Is that GHD type people?
No, look, it's common. You know, you go to any mining site, and they've always got a tailings dam somewhere where they're reusing the water, recycling their water to come back down into the mining area. So it's a fairly common thing. It's more about the types of floats that you've got. It's the weight of the pump when you size it. It's then what the on a mining site you put four 44s strapped together and sit the pump in the middle of it with a couple of straps. So it's not a huge design impost, but the issue that we have at Lake Rowlands is aluminium is not conducive for any treatment for blue-green algae outbreaks that we may have to work with. So whilst that water level is going lower and lower, we've already identified the risk of blue-green algae spores, so we treat the water in a different way which doesn't make conducive for aluminium. So we're looking at poly rather than aluminium. So it's that side of things where we're more specific. But floating pontoons, floating cables across waterways and things like that, it's not a big deal.
Okay, well, we will go ahead with that, even if we get a few big storms in the next 4 weeks and suddenly Lake Rowlands is up to 70% or something. We still want to get all this equipment while we've got the money on the table so that next time we've at least got it.
I suppose it'll be up to the council, of course, but my recommendation would be conducive to what's happening with our dam. Are we going to have the dam wall raised within a certain time to get us through the next drought? Which could be, if we get through the next drought, we wouldn't be using this until maybe 10 years or 20 years down the track. So I think we've got so many items in the pot now. So if we raise the dam wall, we know we're going to have the water supply will be sustained. Therefore, there wouldn't be a need for this. If we have a dam built downstream and it's going to take 5 to 10 years, depending on all of the environmental issues and getting approvals through, well, yes, I believe then my recommendation would be to go ahead. But if we go above 60% in our... we started our summer period around 60% this year and we got down to 30%, so that's why I recommend that 60% mark is really where I would go ahead and start spending money on these. Because remember, we're still spending 50% of CTW's money to support these grants. We're not getting it's not 100%, so we still have to contribute to that.
Okay. Any other questions?
Scott pontoons are going to come in handy for maintenance as well, I thought.
Yes, and again, that's the reason for exploring the different types of materials that we use. The pontoon can be used for assisting with blue-green algae, but also as for performing maintenance on our outlet tower as well. So a working pontoon as well. So yes.
Any more questions? I'll put that one. Those in favour. Okay, thank you. The next one, demand management report, page 9, the recommendation we stay on level 5 for the moment. Does someone move that one? Yeah, Councillor Walk up, Councillor Durkin. Thank you very much. This is any questions we've got in relation to this one? I think maybe when we were chatting before, all councillors came online before the meeting. Noel mentioned that the level of Lake Rollins is now up to, what was it, 43?
43 and climbing.
43 and climbing, so the report says 40.5 and it's now up to 43 and going north, which may make a difference to your consideration this time. Any questions?
The plan is 60%, we go under level one restrictions.
You're making us nervous. The plan is, I believe the recommendation will be first, if once we hit 50%, obviously go, we'll take it steady as it goes at this stage and go back to level four restrictions, and then subsequently level three. And we just want to, I suppose, for the council's benefit, I know councils are aware of this, during this winter period, obviously try and store up as much water as possible to head into that peak summer demand period. So as Noel touched on earlier, we can see how quickly that water drops down when we do hit that peak summer period. But hopefully they are forecasting, as I've got in my report there, a wet summer. So fingers crossed that Lake Rollins stands up again as being a good catchment area, and that we're up around that 60, 70, hopefully it'll be lovely to be at that 80% mark. So that would be my recommendation at this stage, to easy as it goes at during this winter period, leading to that summer period. But then again, ultimately, I can only put a recommendation up, and it'll be up to council to either agree with that recommendation or change or not agree with it. So.
How are we going with the dams upstream? Do we know if they're all of them, we're just getting all the catchment now, or are we still sort of filling dams upstream? Is anybody aware of that?
Through the chair, yes. Well, I do consistently go for a drive around the back reaches just to satisfy my own understanding of how we're going. There is a lot of water out there. Catchments have been and dams have been filled. The water continues to run now through our little creeks. However, my belief is more about the springs now coming into play rather than the overfill of the dams that have been the additional dams that have been put on the private properties upstream of our storage catchment area. So I think it's more of the springs coming into play at the moment. So just we are driving very hard to get this permanent pump station in as short a possible time as we can for Cowra, to gain that water from Cowra, and that will also come into play when we put a recommendation of when we come out of our restriction levels. Because as you know, I think Cowra is on level one restriction, zero restriction, so Cowra is on zero, level zero. I think if we can get that permanent pump station in, that gives us a huge boost then to come into that summer peak period. Of course, we do now have, we'll have an additional supply. We'll have the bores at Goolagong. We'll have that extra 3 megalitres available to feed back into the other areas of our system. So our lake is really only supporting Blaney, Millthorpe, Manil, Mandurama and Lyndhurst. So that's a good saving for us as well. So we'll take those into play as we push forward on our recommendation to reduce those restrictions.
Okay, and you have, it's in relation to the community expectations and PR and so on. I know that certainly the press around Blaney are always interested in knowing what the level of Lake Rollins is. Maybe that's because the local journalist is on CDW Water. But the word gets out that we're up to 43 and rising, and the trigger point for level 3, 4 and 5, if if you're going in reverse, we would be relaxing restrictions now. So we've got to have a, we've got to be ready on the front foot with some press in relation to why we are hanging in there at level 5, even though we're up to 43%.
Yep. Yes, we can put a, we can put some messaging out via Facebook, and we also can, on our Facebook page, as well as we can do a media release or have something prepared for once I do get contacted by the press. But it's, as you said, it's going to be on the front foot. But sticking with the same messaging that we have been doing through this prolonged drought is we're prudently managing our finite resource, and to keep pushing that messaging across, the, and especially, as I said, during this winter period when historically, and it's the same now, the demand drops right off considerably. So I can't see any rush at this stage in relaxing the restrictions. However, in saying that, said once we reach that 50% mark, I have no hesitation recommending we do start to relax those restrictions. So,
and through the chair, also through, yeah, we've got Orange City Council on level 5, Bathurst City Council on level 5, Cabon on level 5 as well. We are all being consistent in this central west area where we do rely on dam storage. So, yeah, we are being consistent as far as the public in all of us maintaining it. We don't really have any to spare at all.
Yeah, and just getting back to the point that Noel made, last year we got towards 60%. Let into that peak summer demand period, but that was only, we're very fortunate that we got that good dump of snow. Well, we picked up 10%. I'd love to see that happen again, but as we know, there's no guarantees. So I think if we continue to manage our resource in a prudent manner, I think that would be accepting by the public.
I'd like to go on the front foot rather than wait for someone to query it. I know people are winter and gardens being reasonably moist and so on, but you don't underestimate the number of people who are going to whinge when they see that we are not unwinding the restrictions as quickly as we put them in place at the same ground level. So I'd like to see us going on the front foot, explaining that we're keeping them and explaining why.
No, we'll do that. Well, as I said, we'll put the messaging out on Facebook, and I'll drop a media release as well to issues. So I know the ABC Radio are good supporters of ours, so and they're good at getting that message out as well on our behalf. So, yep.
And so I think people are very supportive of it. I think talking to people now, they're supportive of maintaining those restrictions because we know that demand's low, but I do also think it's very important to put a point in place where they know that the trigger point, they know it's going to be relaxed. You know, I think if you say 60%, I'm happy to have 50%, as long as we set that figure and we stick with it, we're able to sort of say to people, when we hit that 50%, we'll start easing off the restrictions. So.
Yep.
I agree with that. That is managing expectations, which is what we've really got to do.
Yep.
David, I think that with all the surrounding councils on level 5, except Cowra,
monitor
what they're doing when they start to bring it back, that sort of helps you along a bit there, that one.
Yeah, that's a good point, Kevin. Maybe Gavin can find out what their current thinking is too.
Yeah.
I mean, Orange is still driving through here the other day. I think their combined storages are still in the sort of low to mid 20% at the moment.
Yeah, I think they're around 25 or 26%, I think. Yeah, I can check on both Cabon and Orange to see what their thoughts are. Actually, we've got a meeting, a Steerco meeting tomorrow, actually, with James McTavish and Orange and Cabon, so we can ask that question at that meeting.
Good.
Let councils know.
Yep. Any other questions? Okay, well, those in favour? It's carried. Item 5 of the council resolutions update report. We've got our usual report on how we're going on our semi resolution. Any questions of Gavin on those? Gavin, I've got one question in relation to the water supply agreement with Orange. I guess it's a bit personal. I haven't seen another. We had a meeting with Lindsay Taylor, I think it was a month or so ago, and he was going to revise the agreement. And I think he was going to have a look at that, but I haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chairman. We did receive a draft back from Lindsay, and that's just been with Peter and the senior management team, and Noel, and the three of us. And we're just going to make a couple of minor changes before Noel was going to go to Orange and discuss that with them. But we're going to forward you a draft of final amendment before we go to negotiate and speak with Orange regarding that agreement. And also, Councillor, to recall, I have got a note to provide a one-page, a summary page on that agreement to circulate to councillors for their information outside of the meeting. So I still have got that as a task to do, and I have got that down to do, and I'll do that.
Okay, thanks. And the agreements, and I know that our last resolution was these will be provided to council. The agreements in relation to the Cowra water supply arrangements and reverse pumping, how are they going?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We've provided a draft agreement, or with the senior management team have reviewed the existing agreement and provided that with some comments to Lindsay, or to our solicitor, and he's following up on that at the moment. So once that comes back, we'll once again send that a copy of that agreement to yourself, and if other councillors want to have a look at that, we can provide a copy as well. And we're progressing through that. One of the main issues that has come up is clarifying, which we spoke about previously, is the ownership of that new pump station. So we've been consulting with Cowra, just trying to clarify that ownership issue, and which obviously forms a major part of that agreement. So we'll keep councillors updated with that.
Okay. Any other questions on the Assembly Resolutions report?
Just with the Renewable Energy Action Plan, is there any reason to continue having it on there? I think it's been, the review is completed. Did you want to continue with it, or?
We've just, through you, Mr. Chairman, we've just kept that on there because we've got, with that action plan, we've got works that we're proposing to do at the Carcor Filtration Plant once we acquire that additional land for the reservoir site. So we thought we'd leave that in there, but if council is happy for us to remove that item, we can do that and just report obviously accordingly as we progress with that solar farm or potential solar farm at the Carcor filtration plant area.
Well, I'd be happy to remove it. I think having too many things on there that back in 2018, things like that, we need to sort of tidy them up. If there's no need to have them on there, I'm happy to have them. Have them removed from it.
Yep, I can do that.
I don't want anyone to have a council think, that's all.
Yeah, but on my markup on this, I've got a lead question mark next to that one myself. Any other questions? Okay, those in favour?
Carried.
Thank you.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, can I just say we just need a mover and a seconder on that one?
Oh, thank you, Peter. Move Councillor Dirk and second Councillor Best.
Thank you.
Okay, item six, financial matters. This is Peter's regular report. Someone like to move that one? Councillor Henry, seconded Councillor Houston.
For you, Mr. Yep. Chairman, it's pretty much business as usual. Interest rates are fairly low, as councillors would be aware. We didn't quite make the budget for this year, and I'd alluded to that in previous reports. Every time we come up for renewal of a term deposit now, it's a bit of a challenge to find out how to where to best place our funds to try and get the best return while still complying with our investment policy and our risk appetite. But we still continue to, if there's any specials around that comply with the policy, we're just going to take them on board. I think it's going to be tough going forward. No one really knows what's going to happen with the economy in the broad sense. There is a big concern that the economy is going to hit the wall come September, when a lot of the government, the federal government's indicated a lot of their support programs are going to be removed, particularly the JobKeeper program, which is raising a lot of debate at the moment as to how that's going to wind out. So there's a lot of uncertainty from an economic viewpoint. We really don't know how things are going to go. So I think it's going to be pretty tough to get a decent return or on investments over the course of next year. And that's one factor I'm taking into account with the budget document at the moment. So basically it's business as usual, and we'll try and get the best returns we can. In terms of our cash flow, obviously with COVID-19 pandemic, there's been a few issues, and I have mentioned this to council before. We did extend the payment on our June accounts to the 29th of June. We have had a request for amended accounts of about 260 amendments to accounts, and we're in the process of processing them at the present time. And we basically offered people the opportunity to actually push back that due date beyond the 29th of June. The implication will be, of course, that obviously in terms of our balance sheet at the end of the year, we'll have a higher level of debtors and a lower level of cash. Councillors would also be aware that the Office of Local Government has actually mandated that interest on overdue rates and charges be zero from the 1st of July for a 6-month period. That's an issue that has caused a little bit of controversy with Local Government New South Wales and a number of councils around. They see it as a disincentive for people to actually pay their rates and charges. So that's going to be a bit of a challenge for all councils going forward. So we're basically working with that. The other thing is that the council's been very fortunate to get, as we've discussed, a number of grant programs. One of the challenges with those programs is they've got very prescriptive guidelines in terms of how you claim expenditure and get reimbursed. So we've been doing a lot of work, Gavin and Noel in particular, to try and make sure that we can claim our money that we expend as quickly as possible. And there has been some administrative issues around that we've had to deal with, and we're sort of working through those on an ongoing basis. So we're trying to get our money, our funds back in as quickly as possible. So we're working on that one. So with our rolling maturities that we have and so forth, we should be able to get through this period. But I think obviously the next 3 months is going to be challenging for all councils, not just Central Tablelands Water. So, but I think we'll sort of we'll be able to get through it, but we'll have to probably work hard to collect our charges going forward. But most people have been very understanding. In terms of the estimated meter reads, we have had some people that have been fairly hostile to that and very difficult with some of the comments they've made to some of the staff and so on. But I think we've worked through those hardcore, difficult customers, and most people now are pretty understanding. And anyone now that basically from this point forward, we're not actually doing amended accounts, we've basically said to people, well, if you've read your meter and you say that that's the read, we'll accept that. And you basically pay the amount. We will recalculate the amount, and basically you pay that amount to us. And then we'll adjust it when we do the next round of reads, which are in July, which we're currently planning at the moment. And once we get those actual reads in the system, then we can resolve some of these issues. With those reads, we'll probably have some negative reads to deal with, but we'll deal with those on an ongoing basis. And once we get that actual read in the system again, and then we're back on track then to not have these issues. But it's been a difficult issue, not just for the consumers, but it has been for the staff as well to work through it. We're still working through it, but we'll get there. We're dealing with it the best we can to sort of move it forward, and so we can get as many issues of the amended, particularly the amendments, resolved as quickly as possible. And the staff have been really good to focus on that, and that's really been one of the big tasks we've had to deal with.
Thanks, Gavin. Thanks, Brendan. I assume that all of those 260 involve refunds rather than the estimate being too low.
For you, Mr. Chairman, yeah, that would be correct. That people are obviously, if you did have some people made inquiries where it went the other way, and they were happy to pay the estimated account and then pick up the difference in the next read. But those 260 would certainly be ones where they believe it's been the consumption's been over. So well, certainly that will be situations where we would reduce the amended account would certainly be less than the one that was already. Issue, and obviously that creates a little bit of uncertainty in terms of what our income will be, and I'll touch on this with the quarterly budget review, what our final income figure will be at the end of the year, because I really, at this point in time, I don't really know the volume of water involved with all those refunds, to see what, all those adjustments, I'm sorry, amendments, so I'm not really sure about what the net effect will that be, would be overall, but we're working on that at the moment.
Okay, any further questions for Peter? Those in favour? Carriage. Item 7 on the QBRS. Someone like to move that one? Councillor Best, second to Councillor Newstead, thank you. Any questions? There's a fairly comprehensive report, as there always is. Do you want to add anything, Peter?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, I suppose the big issue and is one that when I did the December review, I thought the water charges, user charges were probably going to be lower for the year. And actually, the afternoon of that meeting where I put that report up, I got the actual figures and they were a little bit higher than I expected. So I've actually amended that estimated revenue figure. I brought that back. Up, I took it down by 290,000, I put it up by 320,000. As council would appreciate, it's very difficult to estimate what the water consumption is actually going to be. But the figure that I've got in there, I'm reasonably comfortable with. As I indicated a few moments ago, there's a little bit of uncertainty with some of those amended accounts as to what impact that'll have. But I think, the figure that I've got in there, I think we should certainly realise that figure, maybe a little bit more. So overall, the result, we do have a loss there of $449,699 before capital grants and contributions. We'll see how we go at the end of the year. There's a couple of things there. The depreciation number is always a challenge as well. We're working through some issues with that, but I've amended that figure as well by $80,000, and I think there should be sufficient estimate there to cover the depreciation on the infrastructure. So overall, I think certainly our projected result, we will make a loss for the year. It may not be as high as the $449,000, but certainly that it will certainly be a loss, and that's basically come about because of the adjustment to depreciation, as we've discussed with previous budget reviews. But overall, our financial position is, it's fairly sound. It's certainly not something to be overly concerned about. The challenge presented by depreciation we've discussed on a number of occasions, and that will remain, certainly as we get new infrastructure, like the new reservoir at the Carcoal Filtration Plant. If we raise the dam wall, these things will impact on infrastructure. If we go to a greenfield site, as Noel's indicated before, and we've got a big dam there, then yes, that's a big challenge for us, depreciation on those items, and that's something we're conscious of and something we'll try to certainly manage going forward. But it's something that, as we've said before, it's about 40% of our total operating costs, so it's our biggest cost. So what we need, obviously, is more connections, and as our connections grow, we can spread that cost over more connections, which will certainly help us. But obviously, with a big infrastructure base and a small number of connections, it's always going to be a challenge for us going forward.
Thanks, Brendan. I just got one question on the contracts listing. I've got a couple of questions, which is on page 33. We've got two contracts in relation to the Lake Rollins augmentation, no model group of PSN. totaling 255,000, those two contracts. I think we had 370,000 is the amount we've been allocated to get to this whole point. And will we be spending the whole 370,000?
I'll let the General Manager answer that one.
Yeah, I'll answer that, David. Through you, Mr. Chairman, the 370,000, we have put a claim in for that. We put that in the other day, and we've got it on the basis that we're submitting the detailed the strategic business plan, as well as the preliminary costings report and the secure yield study by Friday, which is well on its way. It may come in that actual expenditure incurred will be less than the 370. However, under the funding deed, and I've had that advice confirmed through Nige Deakin, the Safe and Secure Program Manager, is that we can claim up to that allocated amount, that 370 to that whole point, even if we're, as I said, even if we haven't fully incurred that expenditure, because down the track we've got other, after the whole point, we've got other budget items listed in there, and then if we go over on those budget items, we can cover it from the over or the funding that we have already claimed. The funding deed is for $1 million. Obviously, if we go over that $1 million, that's at our risk. We've got to wear that risk, but we've got the funding available up to that $1 million, and part of their accounting and claims process is claiming on completed milestones for that actual amount that we put forward at that time for those particular milestones. So I have queried that because I am conscious of having an accounting background that we usually, in the past, we've only been able to claim up to the expenditure we've incurred, but we have had advice that we can claim on those milestones that we have set in our funding deed. So obviously there's a reconciliation across the on the way.
To the extent that we spend less than the 370,000, again, we claim and get paid the 370, we'll just keep the. Will we charge project management to cover it, or will we just keep the extra grant as a bit of a safe haven in case we overspend on the next stage?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, in terms of how we account for that is. If we've spent, for example, at the end of the year, 300,000, and we've actually invoiced for 370,000, that $70,000 would be accounted for in two ways. Firstly, the $70,000 would be not income; it would be a liability to council, or income received in advance. Yeah. And that $70,000 would be restricted as an external restriction, being an unexpended grant, and it would be able to be used then. For future expenditure.
For the project.
For the project, yeah.
Okay, well that's good. Exactly the way I think it should happen, rather than charging some sort of project management fee to make us look good for the rest of the financial year, but reverting it later.
Yeah.
Okay, there's one other thing, sorry, I'm doing a late thing too long. There's another contract in there which I'm not aware what that's all about. Camaro Resources, which is a big 150,000. What's all that about?
Through the chair, if I can speak on that one. So, because of these projects coming through, we were finding there were certain works not being undertaken, namely the telemetry system that we have. So we were fortunate enough to by chance come across Camaro Resources, who have had exposure to the system that we use here at CTW. So we brought Camaro Resources in to help us with our telemetry and keep us on track with that. However, part of their expertise, it unveiled that they were good for 3D modelling, and they did a lot of work with Sydney Trains in trying to help plan for big project type works. So we've taken advantage of Camaro Resources to support us for for these projects that we've got on the table at the moment. So they're providing both initial or preliminary investigations, putting the AutoCAD designs together. So it was a good benefit, you know, out of the blue to utilise those resources as well that they had expertise with. So that's where Camero Resources came in.
It's a big contract, $150,000 for that. Is that just one person, several people, you know? And I see it's it is budgeted. I'm not sure where in the budget that was.
For you, Mr. Chairman, that principally it was with the telemetry upgrade. We've got an amount in the capital budget of $150,000 for telemetry upgrades. So large proportion that's gone through telemetry upgrade, also for maintenance of the telemetry. Plus, there's been various other works, as Noel's indicated, on some of these projects, grant-funded projects, including the pump station, the permanent pump station, and so forth. So it's come from a number of different areas. So it is covered in the budget, albeit across a number of areas.
And again, if I could speak on behalf of the telemetry systems, there's 22 sites of our telemetry that's being upgraded. So there's about $75K in material costs that will be coming through, but we've forwarded those prices in. Of course, this is to cover off until the end of the financial year. So it's purchase of materials. It's just not labour or consultancy.
Okay, all right. Now, it's so half of it's going to be materials.
Yeah, and it's through you, Mr. Chairman. One of the main projects has been the work Miro have been doing with the design of the pump station, the temporary pump station works initially, and now the permanent pump station. And as Noel said, that 3D modelling has really helped with progressing that project. And as I said earlier too, David, that's another area where additional support has been able to be provided to Noel to meet these challenging times.
Short term.
Yeah, on a short term basis.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. Any other questions? No more questions. I'll put that those in favour. Carried. Move on to item 8, which is a report on the audit committees. I'd like to move that. Councillor Benbrick and Newstead, thank you. Any questions on that? I can answer them. We'll go to more people to answer them. Anyone have any questions? Anyone to lay much longer on this? Those in favour? Carried. Item 9, the water security drought impact reports. I'd like to move that. Councillor Durkin, second with Councillor Best. Thank you. Anyone got any questions on this one, on this report? So we spoke before in relation to the Barangaroo bore. Effectively, that's an asset which we're not going to be able to use, I guess, is the answer to that, no?
Through the chair, not without further funding being sought for refurbishment, but this was the preliminary phase that DPIE imposed on us, that we would have to undertake it in this staged approach, and depending on what findings we if we came across, we would then look at further funding down the track. But as we spoke of earlier, water quality issue is the problem that we have with Bangaroo.
Are we still able to go ahead with the mining well tests?
Through the chair, yes. We have provided, we have engaged Hunter H2O to do all of our water quality testing. We had been waiting on some samples to be provided from Bangaroo to complete all three areas. However, we've just gone ahead with only Kewdale Bore and Blaney Well because of trying to get access to the Bangaroo Bores and the quality there. Hunter H2O will do the water quality sampling, and then they will come up with a preferred option for treating that water so as we can use it in our system for drinking water. So that's Hunter H2O. So they've got those samples now, they're working through it. I have had two meetings with Hunter H2O as for where the progress is on those. As I said, they're working through it from the issues of what do we need to do for that water quality. There is some extra testing that we will be required to do, and that will be for yield studies. So we are relying at the moment on the yield studies that were done for Blaney Well and Kewdale Bore, or I think they were undertaken almost 20 years ago. So it's a little bit hard to be pumping for 48 hours into a paddock, however, and seeing water flooding down there when it was as dry as it had been. Now that the ground is wet, we can certainly do some things with lay flat cables to enable ourselves to keep away from the public view, to be able to undertake those 48 hour requirements for yield studies to confirm just what we do have available out of the well and the bore.
Okay, and what was the timing on finishing all that work,
Look, in honesty, I have not pushed this one as hard as what I have been pushing for the Cowra interlinkage. I just see the benefits of relieving the pressure off Lake Rowlands had been more beneficial in gaining water from Cowra into our system, and transferring that water across them to make up for these two areas that the bores are providing. And as well as waiting on the reports back from Bangaroo Bore. So I can get a bit more enthusiastic about it now that we're pretty well meeting our deadlines for the projects of Lake Rowlands augmentation and the Cowra interchange. So that's really consumed an awful lot of time to get them up to date. But now I can go back and start looking at the bores.
Okay, thanks. Any more questions? If not, I'll put that. Those in favour? If you, Karen. Move on to item 10. Trunk Money's Cave Renewal, page 42. Report on the final stage of the BIS. Who'd like to move that? Councillor Walker. Councillor Best. Thank you. This talks about the last 500 metres. No, it's less than that right now.
Yes, through the chair, I am very privileged to make a statement. We are down to our last 20 metres of pipeline to be, and that will only be laid when we swing from the old pipeline into the new pipeline. So we've got 20 metres now left to lay. And we've got to go through the phases now of flushing the pipeline, hypochlorinating the pipeline, and then transferring across from our old pipeline into our new pipeline. So, but all of the construction work and all those large costing items have now been undertaken, and if I can say put to bed would be a nice way of putting that.
And in relation to the budget, we're going to come in the
well, yes. you can see how close we're getting. So, I believe that we will reach that target now that we have there budgeted. We've got about 57,000 left. We've had about 2 weeks' work that needs to come out of that. So that's bringing it back to around that 30,000 to enable us then to continue and finish off our commissioning with. We can make use of our own equipment and our own labour. So the sourcing of external labour would not be required.
It's the flushing, all that water for flushing, that comes from the bore, that comes from the Lake Rollins?
Through the chair, yes. The water will only be used from Goolagong Bore. The usage from, at the moment, there's such small usage from that bore, I'm very tempted to undertake some flushing if the rains continue. And again, I say that we've got capacity from our bores to be able to utilise during this small couple of weeks. I'm actually turning the bores off at halfway during the day to try and drop the level of our reservoirs down because the demand is just not there for these, for the smaller bore to go into. So, but that'll be a call that we will make with both with our senior management team as far as what impacts that may have on us if we do bring it forward. But I'm just not in a position to make a recommendation as yet to the council to go outside of our level 5 restriction.
I know the restrictions across the board, but I mean the water that's going to be used is not linked to Lake Rollins, and we're basing all our restrictions upon Lake Rollins. This has been going with this Trump main case has been going for a long time. I think to get it completed is worthwhile. I don't think there's going to be a big community backlash if we're seen to be using that water for and to get this project finished. I don't think it's going to be a big issue. I think like, so while demand is low and the water's available on the board, let's get it flushed, let's get it done.
So, and again, through the chair, we're on a similar thoughts. But again, yeah, public perception and asking them to do the right thing by us, and especially while it was dry, as dry as it had been, it would have really stood out. But now streams are running, the ground is wet, there is moisture, all water laying on top of paddocks now. I can see that it could be a better way. But again, I will work through the senior management team then to drive that. But we do take on note, certainly our Wet and Shire councillors, and trying to get this up and finished.
Yeah, and just through you, Mr. Chair, we've programmed the final commissioning to occur next financial year. So obviously that has implications as well, but that's at this stage. But obviously, as Noel said, there's a lot of work to do between now and, or there's a fair bit of work to do now between now and then with the flushing, but with official commissioning in next financial year. So, which we'll look at inviting ex-councillors along for that commissioning, because I know they've had a long involvement with this project.
And certainly commissioning next financial year is good when it comes to our write-offs. Any more questions? Those in favour, thank you. Carried. Item 11, maintenance systems. So I'd like to move that be noted. Councillor Durkin, Councillor Henry, thank you. Any questions? No, only for course. No. If not, I'll put that. Those in favour? Carried. Thank you. Item 12, performance of the system. Someone like to move that one? Burton and Councillor Newstead. Thank you. I don't want to need to add anything to that, and I'll ask all councillors any questions or comments on this one. No, that's a quick item. Those in favour? Carried. Questions on notice. Scott, have we got any of those?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Questions on notice. Now, I see, while I'm on the this video link you have sent out a late item.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Philip, I don't know whether other councillors have got that. I've just got it on my iPhone at the moment. This is a late item proposing a recommendation that we hold some extraordinary meetings to endorse the operation plan, and then another ordinary meeting to adopt it, subject to receipt of submissions. Gad, do you want to just talk to this, seeing that there's nothing in the business paper at the moment?
Yes, through you, Mr. Chairman. Councillors, this is just a follow-up from my emails late last night regarding the budget. Unfortunately, due to a myriad of competing priorities, and especially the impacts of the COVID-19 implications with regards to water meter reading, the estimations of the water meter reading, it has had a significant impact on our administration staff, and in particular Peter as well, in dealing with that. And then therefore there has been a delay in getting the draft operational plan and LTFP ready for Council's consideration and endorsement at this meeting. So I made the call last night. I sent an email to our chairman looking for requesting support or putting a proposal forward to call for an extraordinary meeting for the 30th of June to endorse the draft operational plan and draft long-term financial plan, which we believe will be well and truly completed by then, and to give the councillors ample opportunity to review those draft documents before endorsing those documents. And also then call on another meeting after it goes on public display, in taking consideration the 28-day period, calling that extraordinary meeting for the 29th of July to take into consideration any submissions that are received, and then adopt the draft operational plan and long-term financial plan. So I know it was late when we sent that email out last night, but firstly we're looking for to ensure that those dates, there is availability of the councillors to attend those meetings. They will be via Zoom or via video conferencing, and there will only be one at this stage. There will only be one item at both of those meetings, so it shouldn't take a long period of time. And John, you've got a visitor there, I can see. So we're just looking for support from the councillors to first to see if there's likely to be a quorum for those dates, or there's support for those dates, and also just supporting us as myself and the staff to get through this extraordinary times. So I'll throw it back to the councillors to see and take any questions regarding that.
Well, first of all, councillors, I know this is fairly short notice, but have you yet been able to check your diaries to see whether you are available on those two dates?
This date, I think. Okay.
Monday the 29th would be better for me, but I should be able to shift it till the 30th if that suits everybody else.
How long do you think it would take, Gab?
It shouldn't take long. It depends if we receive any submissions that council need to consider, but in the past we haven't received one submission probably in my time, in my 11 years here at council, so we may not receive any submissions. I don't think it'll take a long period of time. And the other thing is, we can have the meeting at any time that suits the majority of councillors too. We don't have to have it at 10:30 or 11 o'clock. We're very flexible in that respect as well.
So maybe it sounds like half an hour, 45 minutes, I can still work, it's easy enough.
Well, yeah, I can't see it taking any longer than that. As long as we, and that's up to us to make sure this happens, that we give the councillors enough time to review the documents, and then obviously to make that endorsement and approval. So.
Yeah, I think that the key question to getting this up quickly is to make sure councillors receive the documents. it's a good time to go through them before the meeting and raise any issues before the meeting, so clarifications can be sought, explanations can be given, and the meeting can be reasonably quick. How long before the 30th of June meeting, which is the one really that will take a bit longer, assuming we don't get too much. But I think the second meeting should be fairly quick, but the first meeting, 30th of June, is the important one. How long before that meeting will we get the draft operation plan and the long-term financial plan?
Yeah, I'll just ask Pete. Pete, what do you...
Well, we would try and get that out certainly by the Friday, but maybe try and aim for the Thursday prior to that, to make sure that people have enough time, so by Thursday evening, which would be 30th, 29th, 28th, 27th, 26th, 25th, maybe, we'd aim to do that at this stage.
Yeah.
Okay, so the 30th of June is a Tuesday.
Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday. I think the important thing is that if you could get it out by the Thursday night, so it's council at the weekend to go through it, but yes, for those who are keen enough to go through it on the Friday, and then there's time to raise any issues before we all go for the weekend.
Yep.
So that's
that'd be the target.
As I said, we can be flexible with the times of that meeting, and obviously fitting with the councillors. If you want to have that meeting later on the Tuesday, or that's fine by us.
Yeah. Well, Mike, morning or afternoon is better for me, yeah.
Good mornings. Okay. Good
mornings.
Good mornings. Yep.
All right. Well, I think there's a fair chance we'll have a quorum of those meetings. Yeah, so I think we lock those dates in. We'll just leave the timing
yeah.
at the moment. Maybe councillors can let you know offline what good timing would be.
Yeah.
I was just a bit of background because I was concerned last time we hadn't received the papers and mentioned it to Gavin that really wasn't giving councillors an opportunity to discharge their responsibilities. And the upshot of all that, of course, is the suggestion we refer. Okay, so we need someone to move that late item, which is item 14. I don't know whether you've all got that, but those who haven't, someone like to move that? Yeah, Councillor Best. Moved by Councillor Best, seconded Councillor Durkin. There's no more discussion about that. I'll put that, those in favour. That's carried. Is there any other general business? GM?
No, I haven't received anything else, Mr. Chairman, and I haven't got anything further that my team has. I just wanted to say that Bea Smith is obviously with us here today, and she's been doing some good work on our website, and she's managed to get the latest videos on our website, so we'll be putting some messaging out regarding that as well, to encourage people to go and visit our website and to look at those promotional videos of CTW and the water saving video. So that's not easily done, working with putting those on, but Bea's been able to achieve that, which is great.
Okay, thanks very much, Bea. Peter, just on behalf of all the councillors, I said this last night in emails, but I'll say it again in this meeting, you've got the full support of the council. And if you need more resources to get your work done, then we should find those resources for you, because we certainly appreciate the work you do and the thoroughness with which you discharge your responsibilities. It's a very difficult time and you've got a lot to get through, and we appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Mr. Chairman, and I thank the council for their patience. Thank you.
Yeah. If there's no more business, I'll declare the meeting closed. Nice to see you all again, and see you at the next meeting.
Bye.
Thank you,
Councillor. Thank you, Dave.